Morning. Great to be here with you this morning. The entrance of God's word gives light. Is that right? Gives understanding to the simple. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the power of your word. And as we heard in the prayer meeting this morning, you watch over your word to perform it. Speak to our hearts, Father God. Our hearts are open to you. Holy Spirit, I pray, make the word of God so real to us today that when we go from this place, we know that we've heard from you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I want to read to you two verses from the Bible. Amazing verses. In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, this is Ruth speaking to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And she said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God shall be my God." And then the second passage in Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 25. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." Here's a question. What would you consider to be the single most important key to a successful life, an abundant life in Christ Jesus in 2025, 26, 27 and on? What would you consider to be the single most important key to a successful, fulfilled life in Christ Jesus? I believe it's the ability to make right decisions. The ability to make right decisions. In fact, that's the title of my message. Making right decisions. You know, if we could go through life making right major decisions, by the time we leave this world, we would have had a successful and fulfilled life. Decisions determine your destiny. This is a true story. Happened in Central Australia a few years ago. A man decided to go out in the desert, take his wife and his children with him. He made a decision to go. Driving along the way, he came across a creek. And he stopped there for a while and he said, "Okay, I need to make a decision. Do I go through the creek or go another way?" He decided to go through the creek. And what happened? He got halfway and he got bogged. So he had to make another decision. In fact, he made two decisions. One was right and one was wrong. The first decision he made that was right was for his wife and his children to stay in the car. They had provisions, they had water, protection from the heat of the sun, while he would go and look for help. That was the decision he made for himself. And it happened to be a wrong decision. So he took provisions with him, walking along. He walked and walked and walked and walked, and then he came through a T-junction. He had to make another decision, whether to turn to the left or the right. So he turned left. He made a wrong decision. He turned left. Instead of going towards the direction to find help, he went in the direction that took him further and further in the desert. And when the people that were looking for him, when they found him dead because he made a series of wrong decisions. Could it be that most of our problems in life are because we make wrong decisions? You know, when you're in your late teens, or early teens for some, you look for a job. Or you make a decision whether you further your education. You know, some people hate their job. They like it. They just want to get out of it. And you say, well, why don't you leave? I said, well, I can't. It's the only job I know. I'm not sure if I left, if I can get another job. And they feel locked into that situation because of a wrong decision. Whereas others, they enjoy their job. They feel they made a right decision. When it comes to make a decision about marrying, how crucial and important that is. Businessmen can make wrong decisions. In the 1980s, during the stock market crash, a man by the name of Frank Renouf lost in one day, through a bad decision, $250 million one day because of a decision. John D. Rockefeller, he had nothing when he started off. Poor background. And one of his jobs was to hoe potatoes, dig up potatoes, for 37 cents a day. Would you do that? But he saved up and he saved up and he saved up. And he invested his money in oil. And it was just that time when the motor car started to appear on the scene, 1886. He made a right decision with his investment and he became one of the richest men in the world. Decisions determine your destiny. And it's important that we make right decisions. It's important as Christians to know how to make right decisions. Your happiness is dependent upon it. Your family happiness depends upon it. Your usefulness for God depends upon it. We all need to know how to make right decisions. And so first of all, if we're going to make right decisions, you must recognize the fact that God has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for your life. God said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, come on, and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope." You know, God didn't create us to do our own thing and to live life without Him. No, He chose us because He had a plan for each one of our lives. You know, even if you're not a Christian, God still has a plan for your life. If you would surrender your life to Him, you'll begin to understand and He will reveal His plan for your life. There's something like 8.2 billion people in the world today. 8.2 billion people. All have different fingerprints. If God goes to the trouble of making your fingerprints different from everyone else's, that kind of eternal God has a purpose and a plan and a path for you and I to follow. And our job while here on earth is to find out what it is and do it. You can find out about it, but are you doing it? Here's the plan before you're even born. In Judges 13, we read a story of God coming to a woman. He said, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. And these are the conditions that you want you to do to raise him up. And God, he shall begin to deliver Israel. And that's exactly what Samson did. The story of Samson. He said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb. That's interesting. Before I formed you in the womb. From the moment of conception, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Aren't you glad God knew us, knew each one of us before we were in the mother's womb? Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. In Acts 9:15, the Lord said to Ananias concerning Paul. Paul had just had an encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road. And Ananias was a bit hesitant to go and see him. But this is what Jesus said to Ananias concerning Paul. He is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentile king, before the Gentiles, before kings, and the children of Israel. And so God has a plan for us even before we were born. You're important to God. You're not just a number. You are special, special to God. Have you ever thought the fact that those plans could be so detailed? And as you look in the Bible, you read the story of Elijah. Very detailed. In 1 Kings 17, God said to Elijah, go by the brook Cherith. That is where I'll send ravens to feed you. You know, Elijah could have said, no, I want to go somewhere else. I want to go to Gateway. Then God said to Elijah in 1 Kings 17, verse 9, go and live in a village of Zarephath. There, near the city of Sidon, I have instructed a widow to feed you. See, God had a detailed plan to where Elijah should live. Most Christians don't ask, where do you want us to live? Most Christians. In James 4, verse 13 to 15, it says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog. It's here a little a while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. So God has a plan for where we live because he wants to make a difference in that area. Here's a detailed plan for your life. And if you can find that out and you make that right decision, there are blessings untold that can come upon your life. How do you find those right decisions? Come on, Pastor Phil, tell me, how do I find those right decisions? How do I know what is a right decision? Let me say, if you've got a major decision to make, and I think some of you have got a major decision to make this year and maybe next year, and you obviously want to make a right decision, the number one that I've found, the number one thing to do is pray and fast. Seek his face. You pray and fast. Spend time with God, asking him. If I'm going to make a major decision, I spend time in prayer and fasting. And then I open my Bible to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yeah. Not half, not partial, with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, this is the key, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And so God says that if I acknowledge him, he will direct my path. And so I'm thinking about a decision. And I said, God, Heavenly Father, what do I do? I'm not sure what to do. Your word says that if I acknowledge in all my ways, you will direct my path. What decision do I need to make? Father God, I need to make a right decision, a godly decision. And I find invariably that if I approach God in an earnest prayer like that and seek him with prayer and fasting, God begins to show me his plan so that I can make a right decision that brings honor and glory to his name and blessing to myself. Right decisions lead to blessing. Wrong decisions can lead to disappointment and sometimes disaster. The second thing I do is to examine the desires of my heart. One of the ways God speaks to us is through desires. And so when you're seeking to make a major decision, look within your heart. Yeah. What's the desires that you have in your heart? What desires do you have deep down in your heart? In Proverbs 37, verses 4 and 5, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When someone comes to me and says, well, I'm not sure what to do. I've got a decision to make. What do I do? I say, well, what's deep down in your heart? what's stirring in your heart. Take note of that desire, because that's one way that God can be speaking to you. You know, I must say this about desires. Desires can change. Yeah. I have a desire today. Next week, it's different. The following week, something else. But the desire that stays, that keeps coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back, is often a good indicator that it is God, a God-given desire. So if you're a person that delights yourself in the Lord, you love the Lord, you spend time in His presence, you worship Him and you praise Him, you're a person that seeks His face, you find that God will put desires in your heart, and those desires will keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. God has talked to you through the desires. You know, I've personally experienced that in my own life. My second car, I wanted to take the family to Cairns. Now, the distance from Adelaide to Brisbane is the same distance from Brisbane to Cairns. I didn't know that. I didn't read the map, Phil. And so we had on our fridge what sort of car I wanted. I wanted a Ford station wagon. Blue top, white bottom. No, white top, blue bottom. Bucket seats. We had it all described in detail what we wanted. Wanted a tow bar, just in case someone needed to tow me out of the creek if I got to Cairns. A roof rack. So the first place we went to had everything except the roof rack. So I spent all day looking for this car. Couldn't find it. I went home. I said, God, you know where it is. God said, go back to the same place. And I went back to the same place. You know what it's like with car salesmen. They see you and said, here comes a gullible person. So he said, are you interested in that car? I said, I am, but I haven't got a roof rack. He said, I'll put one on for nothing. Every detail happened there. Praise God. Praise God. Where am I? I lost my notes. Our house, for instance. Three desires. Pray and fasting. Desires of my heart. And the other two points that I'll bring out in a minute. We're living in the house that God had set aside for us. Even the land agent said, this house is yours. And the banks didn't want to know me. Eventually we got it. Also, coming to Geelong. I had to pray, God, speak to my wife. She's hesitant. And God spoke to her. Like Sarah followed Abraham. And praise God, 26 years ago, this land, 15 acre property, 1 Chronicles 17:9, God said to me, I'll bring you to a place where you'll move no more. We had problems with the neighbors. They didn't want music. They didn't want to have noise through the week. No music, no worship. So examine the desires of your heart. Thirdly, observe circumstances. You see, God talks to us through circumstances. Again, we read the story of Saul, who became king. Saul, his father lost his donkeys, and he said to Saul, go and find them. Circumstances. The donkeys happened to go where the prophet Samuel lived. Circumstances. And Saul's servant said to Saul, why don't we ask the prophet? He'll tell us where the donkeys are. So they went and talked to Samuel about it. But before that, God spoke to Samuel the day before. He said, there's a young man going to come to you. He's going to ask about his donkeys. Tell him they've been found. And I want you to anoint him as king. First king of Israel. And that's what happened. When Saul left his home, he had no idea that God had chosen him to be king. But a series of circumstances brought him into the path of the prophet, where he was ministered to and prophesied over and anointed as king. And you find this in your own experience. If you begin to look at the circumstances, a jigsaw puzzle will start to appear. Yeah. Pieces will come together. The picture will start to appear. It'll become clearer and clearer. As you spend time with God, as you spend time in waiting on God, looking to the things, what's in your heart and the circumstances around you, God speaking to you through circumstance. It's extremely important, church, to observe circumstances. Learn to observe and discern circumstances. And fourthly, why don't we wait till next week for the fourth one? Okay, the fourth one. Bill, you told me. Do the fourth one. Fourth one. God speaks through his word, through scripture.
Yeah.
In 1 Kings 18:1, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. When God speaks through the word, it is most satisfying, gratifying, and faith-building that you can ever have. And so when I'm seeking to make a major decision, say, Heavenly Father, what do I do? How do I go about it? Spend time in prayer and fasting. Look at the desires of my heart. Look at circumstances. See what the circumstances are like. Is it matching up? Is it painting a picture for me? And finally say, God, speak to me. Give me a now word. Speak to me through your word. Give me a rhema word that I can hang on to. You know, this can happen in your daily reading. You can just be reading your Bible, spending time with the Lord. It can happen during praise and worship. A particular verse will come up, or a scripture will come to mind. Or you can listen to a preaching of the word and a scripture that was quoted.
Yeah.
Begin to speak to your heart. And you know God has spoken to you. And so as you put these things together, the word of God, desires of your heart, circumstances, and then read the word of God. See, the word of God will stop you from drifting in your thinking. The word of God will hold you steady. You know, when God spoke to me about this particular land, 1 Chronicles 79, I'll bring you to a place where you move no more. We had on the wall, I began to quote it every day, began to declare it. It stopped me from doubting what God wanted to do in our life and for the life of this church of Gateway. That we have great pastors now looking after the church. Because I stood on the word of God. It stopped me from doubting what God was saying to me.
Yeah.
See, I looked at this property 3 months when we first came here. And I was hesitant because I didn't want to put the church under financial problems. But later on, we looked at it again and all our leaders knew we were home. This is home. And it took 2 years to make negotiations with the owners of this place, the Salvation Army. They bought it off the Italian Entertainment Soccer Club, and we bought it off of them. And we are today. Praise God.
Yeah.
The Word of God. See, if you haven't made a right decision, you don't know where you are, and you're always wondering, did I make it? Did I make a right decision? Another point. This is very crucial. Another point concerning making decisions is that God can stop you from making a wrong decision. God can stop you from making a wrong decision. There's no peace about it. We read in Acts 16 where Paul wanted to go to Asia to preach. Holy Spirit said no. Then he wanted to go to Bithynia. Again, Holy Spirit said no. And then he had a vision of a man from Macedonia. He said, come over to Macedonia and help us. He knew God was leading him. God stopped him from going to other places where he could have been a failure. God can stop us from making wrong decisions. You know, one of the most amazing stories in the Bible of God stopping someone from making a wrong decision is in Genesis chapter 20. It's the story of Abraham and Sarah. They're passing through the land of Gerar. King Abimelech owned that particular area. And Abraham said to Sarah, Sarah, look, you're so good looking. Wow. You are amazing looking. I say that about my wife. Amazing looking. Tell the king, you're my sister. Just say, hey, oh, I'm Abraham's sister. And so God speaks to King Abimelech in a dream. He said, if you touch her, you're dead. You're dead man. Now, that'd be pretty scary, wouldn't it? You're dead man. Don't you touch her. You're dead man. God came and stopped Abimelech. Abimelech made an interesting statement. He said in Genesis 20, verses 5 to 6, did he not say to me, referring to Abraham, she is my sister? And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. Here's the next line. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I've done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Wow. Amazing. When a person walks with God, in fellowship with God, has integrity in their hearts, God can stop them from making a wrong decision. Think about it for a moment. When you and I walk in fellowship with God, in harmony with God, we have integrity in our hearts, God can stop us from making wrong decisions. And I'm sure many of us have been stopped in the nick of time. Right decisions, wrong decisions. Learn to make right decisions. Decisions determine your destiny. Don't make decisions with your natural mind. Make decisions by spending time with God in prayer and fasting. I know some of us would find it hard for the fasting part, but for most of us, we can do it. Examine the hidden desires of our heart. Look at the circumstances. Are they lining up? Is a picture starting to form? And read the Word of God. Get a word from God. Get a now word, a rhema word from God. God, what are you saying about this situation? That's what he said about this place. When I first came in 1998, when I first came here to preach, and 1999 when we started, he gave me a scripture from Joshua 1:8. I'll give you good success, good success, good success. And by God's grace, we've seen good success, and we'll see even more good success through Pastor Nan Lee. Integrity. And that's what we all want, isn't it? We all want the best for ourselves. We all want the best for our families. We all want the best for our future. We all want the best that life can give. And it's tied up in making right decisions. You know, the most important decision you can make, and those are watching online, is to give your life to Jesus. And he then will show the purpose and the path for you to follow, the plan that he has for you. And we're going to pray a prayer in Romans 10, verses 9. Very clearly it says to us that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. We're going to say a prayer. And if you've never said this prayer before, why don't you repeat it after us? From your heart. Say this from your heart. Let's all say it together. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to this earth to die on the cross for me, to save me from my sins. I repent of my sins. I invite you into my life. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. From now on, be Lord of my life. I surrender my all to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.